Last week, I began this new series called Conspiracy. We're in a world that looks for conspiracies everywhere. I mean, we go back to John F. Kennedy, and we look at the conspiracy that was involved with that, or we talk about the conspiracy of landing on the moon. We got a new world order and a conspiracy there. I was looking at a conspiracy on our dollar bill this week. Some news, some History Channel was talking about all the symbols on our dollar bill and the conspiracies that are involved there. Everywhere we turn, there's this idea of conspiracy. And even in the church, there's a challenge with conspiracies. And so I looked up about four of them, and we began last week looking at the Bible. This morning, I want to talk about Jesus and the quest for the true Jesus. And I want to kind of spend a few moments this morning just thinking about who is Jesus, and what did he really teach? Did he really live? What do we really know about Jesus? And what's interesting is anybody know who Thomas Jefferson is? We're at school, right? You guys know you're at school, right? You know, we're at a middle school. We talk about Thomas Jefferson. He was a president of the United States. But did you know he decided to put his own Bible together? That Thomas Jefferson, he started it when he was president, but he didn't finish it till after he got done. What he literally did was this. He went and got a bunch of Bibles together, all the same. He had a French Bible, a Latin Bible, a Greek Bible, and the English Bible. And he took all these, he had to have two of each one. And he went through the Bible and he cut out the passages that he believed was Jesus' really words. That he believed, this is what Jesus really said, this is what Jesus really did. And he went through the Bible and he cut out all these words and he put them in blocks, all parallel. You can look at this on the internet. It's really neat. He has this Bible, and here's his French words, and here's the Greek, and the Latin, and the English, and it'd be Matthew 1:1 or whatever he said. He just went through the Bible. He cut out only the words that he believed Jesus really did and Jesus really spoke. This is Jesus' moral teaching, and he went through the Bible and cut out. It's really, he even took this one little passage. He cut out just one little word. Here's this big old block, and he just cut out one little word in there. And he glued them to pages. And it's at the National Archives now. One of his great granddaughters gave it there, and they're digitizing it and doing all that. He wanted to know, is this the true Jesus? Theologian named Boltman, he wanted to find this. He called it demythologizing Jesus. We got to get rid of all the myths about Jesus, and who is the true Jesus? And it's amazing to see what people say and what they think about Jesus. Others have great things. I want you to look at some of the beliefs about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Look at this first one here as we go through these. Here's what the Jehovah's Witness. Jesus. He lived a perfect life on earth, but Jesus is not God. That's what the Jehovah's Witness believe. What's next? The Mormonism. Jesus is a God, but separate from the Father. His death on the cross did not atone for sin. Who's next? Scientology. Jesus was not the creator and did not die for our sins. Wicca. Jesus was a spiritual teacher who taught love and compassion. That's all he was. What's next? Islam. Jesus was a respected prophet, one of the 124,000 sent by Allah. He was a miracle worker, but not the Son of God. What else? Judaism. Orthodox Jews do not believe Jesus was the Messiah. Hinduism. Jesus is the Son of God, but not the Son of God. But not the Son of God. I like that. He is, but he's not. I don't get that one. His death does not atone for sins, and he did not rise from the dead. Buddhism. He was an enlightened teacher. Only Western Buddhas mention Jesus at all. What's interesting is, it's a debate that has gone on from the very beginning. This little passage right here is from the Gospels. And what it says is simply that, who is Jesus? Jesus asked the question. Look what it says. Jesus and his disciples went to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? Who do you think Jesus is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Christ. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Peter says, "You are the Christ." I want to ask you, who is Jesus? And what's interesting, as you delve into this topic, people want to know, did Jesus really live? Do you believe in Jesus this morning? Have you really ever thought about who Jesus was? Maybe you never even gave it another thought. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't even know what Christianity is all about. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while and you never really, it's just, well, it's Jesus. This has been a question and people wrestle with it today. Who is Jesus? And what's interesting is you watch TV channels. I love the History Channel. And you watch the debates and the conversations about who is Jesus and what he did and what he accomplished. And it's amazing to see what they say and how they go about it. Because what's interesting, when they start denying and questioning Jesus, they don't do it on historical information. It's not some historical document. Scientists haven't found some historical document that says Jesus and his teachings were not true, or say it's controversial. They haven't found some archaeological dig that found something that says what was taught or wrote about Jesus did not happen or did not exist. You know why most scientists and doctors and all of them in school say Jesus didn't exist and the Bible is not quite true and you can't trust the gospel? You know why? Because they don't believe in miracles. It's simply that. Most scientists, most people in the secular world, most scholars would deny the teaching of the Bible on one single principle. It challenges natural order. There's no such thing as miracles. That's the only thing they can challenge. They don't want to believe Jesus because they don't want to believe there was some God who became man, who walked this world and did miracles. They're not willing to read it with an open mind. They have this bias. They go to read the Bible with this bias. Miracles are impossible, so this cannot be true. But you know, we as a church also have a challenge here. I've said a phrase like this, and maybe you've said a phrase like this. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. I've said that. I've said this. The Bible says it, whether I believe it or not, guess what? That settles it. And then we send our kids off to schools, or you go watch a TV show, or you go to the movies and see the Da Vinci Code, and all of a sudden you're challenged, and it's like, now I don't know. See, we throw that phrase out. You know the reason I can say that, and I'm comfortable saying that? It's because I spend a lot of years going through school, and I've already looked at the science. I've looked at archaeology. I've looked at history. I've seen those documents. I've studied. And so for me, I've already did the research. I've come to that conclusion, and I don't care. That we're going to be challenged. And I want to challenge you because you're going to face it in the world. You'll turn the History Channel on. Just this week or last week, I was watching the Jefferson Bible. They did it on C-SPAN 3. And they talked about the Jefferson Bible and how they took it apart and how he put it together and how they're digitizing it. You'll go see a movie like the Da Vinci Code or another one they're going to write sooner or later. Or you'll hear some guy declare, the world is going to end. And we get sucked into these because the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. I want to tell you something. God is not afraid of your research. Okay? God is not afraid of you checking it out. God is not afraid of you testing him. As a matter of fact, he says, test me a couple of times in the scriptures. He's not afraid of that. God wants us to do that. Look at what the scripture says here. If you haven't got your outline out, you might want to get it out. Jesus did many other miracles and signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. He's saying there are miracles. Check it out. I want to ask, how many here, you don't have to raise your hand, you can raise your hand in your mind. How many here believe in miracles? Well, no, I'm going to ask, how many here believe in miracles? All right. I believe God does miracles. It makes it easy to believe in Jesus. But it's a question. Look at this next verse. Look at what it says. Come now, let us reason together. God is saying, come and check it out. Come and investigate. Come and test. Come and see. Is it true? Says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. He's saying it doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter who you are. Come and check it out. See, God is not afraid of scholars. Here's the thing that I want to, this is what's amazing to me. God is not afraid of scholars. Scholars are afraid of God. We need to understand that. God's not afraid of these scholars reading his book and tearing his book apart. I'm going to get into some really interesting stuff today. I'm going to challenge you to reason. I'm going to challenge you to think. I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. But you know what my favorite classes were in school? Philosophy and logic. I loved philosophy. That's some of the first A's I got in college was philosophy, ethics, rational. I love doing that. I love logic and all of that. And here I'm a Christian, and I have no bias. If you're open, here's what I want to tell you. If you're open and you're honest and you're willing to read it with an open mind, not have any bias about anything, with a reason together, I believe you come to the same conclusion I have. The Bible says it. That settles it. But you can reason it first. It's okay to question God. It's okay to question the Scriptures. It's okay to wrestle with it. Look what else the Scripture says. Now the Bereans were more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness, and what? Examine the Scriptures. Why don't you circle that word examine? Might as well go back and circle reason too. They examined it. God is not afraid of somebody picking up his Bible, picking up the Word of God, and examining his Word. God is not challenged by you reading this book and questioning what's in it. God will not be surprised if you go off to college, or you watch a TV show, or you go see a movie, and the movie questions what's written in this book. It's not going to surprise God. It's just not, you got to be open, and you got to look at it, and you got to read it. They examine the Scriptures. We need to do that. We need to read God's Word and see what it says. Examine it. And so that's what I want to do this morning. Here's what I want to do this morning. I'm going to kind of look at some of the historical information. I want to look at some of the archaeological information. And I'm going to ask you, what difference does it make? I want you, when you see the Da Vinci Code or you see some TV show that's coming out, I'm sure there will be another one like that one sooner or later. And I'm sure there'll be another movie. I'm sure somebody else will announce the second coming of Christ again. As a matter of fact, just changed the date because he's wrong again. I'm wondering what he's going to do when October. Was it October? I wonder what he's going to do when October rolls around and nothing happens. Yeah. But I got a good, I know somebody did this. I'm thinking about doing this. I know somebody went on to Craigslist, and I might do that this time. You know, if you want to get rid of your stuff, I'll tell you guys. If you want to get rid of your stuff, just send it my way, all right? You know, it won't bother me a bit. But I'm not going to take it, so I'm going to tell you, you're being deceived, all right? But we need to reason together. So what are some of the historical things? I want to look at some historical things, and I want us to think about some things about what the Word says and what we can see about God. The first thing I want us to look at is a guy named Tacitus. Tacitus is a Roman historian. You can look into the Encyclopedia Britannica. You can read all about him. You can look in Wikipedia. You can Google his name. He was a Roman historian, and he wrote all this Roman history. This is when he lived, from 56 to 117. Jesus died about 33, so it's about 20 years after Jesus. And he writes a history of Rome. I want you to look at this passage that he wrote, and look what he says. Consequently, to get rid of the report, now anybody know about the burning of Rome? Anybody remember history? Roman history? Well, in the Roman history, Rome got burned, all right? Nero was there, and Nero burned Rome. He had to find a scapegoat, so he found the Christians, all right? And here's a passage of what he did and how he tried to get out of trouble. Consequently, to get rid of the report was Nero burned Rome. Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite torture on a class hated for the admonitions called Christians by the populace. Christus, from whom the name had originated, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of the procurators, Pontius Pilate. Here's a non-biblical, here's a historical Roman historian who writes about Jesus. Did Jesus live? Was there a man named Jesus? Did Christianity grow out of a man named Jesus? Here's a Roman historian that says yes. But what's interesting is, scholars say some of this is added later. That Christians influenced and took this and added it. Here's what's astonishing to me. Because we don't have any of the old documents that Tacitus wrote himself. They went down several hundred years before we get a copy of it. They don't have any copy that doesn't have these words. There's no copy that doesn't have these words, but what scholars are saying is he probably didn't write these words. Why? Do they have a reason? They just don't want to believe in Jesus. They have no documental proof, only their ideas that they did it later. There's a guy named Josephus. He was a Jewish historian. I want you to see what Josephus wrote. Josephus, here's a Jew. These aren't Christians. This is a Roman. Now, this is a Jewish man, Josephus, born in a priestly family in AD 37. He wrote works on the Jewish wars and all that. Look at what he says. About this time lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to be called him a man. For he was the archiver of extraordinary deeds and was a teacher of those who accepted the truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. He was the Messiah. When he was indicted by the principal men among us and Pilate condemned him to be crucified, those who had come to love him originally did not cease to do so, for he appeared to them on the third day restored to life. As the prophets of the deity had foretold these and the countless other marvelous things about him, and the tribe of the Christians, so named after him, has not disappeared to this day. And again, Jesus, the Messiah, Jewish historian, not Bible, no Christian writing this. But the scholars again say, well, there were some additions made. Josephus probably would not have wrote the word, he was the Messiah. And they challenge these. Now, I'm not saying the scholars are wrong. I don't know. But what's interesting is, they have no document that doesn't have those words in it. See, that's what's amazing to me. They make these statements, and they could be true. I'm not going to say they're not. But do they have a document that doesn't have that? Do they have any proof that that's not what Josephus wrote? Do they have any proof that's not what Tacitus wrote? No. They just say they probably would not have written that. See, that's astonishing to me. That they make these assumptions. Why would they challenge these things? Because they struggle with who Jesus is and what Jesus wrote. And that's amazing. And then another thing that amazes me is, why do they throw out the Gospels right off the bat? Why do scientists dismiss the Bible as historical documents? Why won't they read them as historical documents? They're written by primary sources, which means eyewitnesses, those who were there. You know, if I want to read, I enjoy reading about the Civil War and reading history now. You know what I want? I want to read the diaries. I want to read, you know what the diaries I really want to read? I bought a book on it the other day, on the Civil War camp called Camp Douglas up in Illinois by Chicago. And I want to read that book because my great-great-grandfather was a prisoner in that camp. Well, guess what? I don't want to read what somebody said. I want to read about those guys who were there and what they said. Why won't they read the Gospels? Why don't they investigate the Gospel? I mean, yeah, it was written by Christians who believed. It was written by Christians after Jesus died, who had a preconceived idea of who he was. They were written with a purpose. Look at one of the purpose. Here, Luke kind of says out his purpose. Look what Luke says about it. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of these things you have been taught. He said, I want you to know that what you've heard is true. And see, here's what scholars say. Well, it's after Jesus died, it's after he rose from the grave, so they're trying to reaffirm the story of Jesus. They're writing with their preconceived ideas back on Jesus after it happened. That's what scholars say. But I think an open investigation is worthwhile. And then you got Paul writing. Look what Paul says. So here's Paul. That's the gospel. What about Paul? For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance. Paul's sitting there writing out, this is what I've seen, this is what I heard, this is what I'm sharing. Why is it so easy to dismiss the Bible? I shared last week, that's why I began with last week's sermon, that it's not like somebody sat down and wrote these books. You need to know Matthew was over here writing. No, I'm not saying Matthew was in America. Make sure I don't get you confused. But Matthew was in one place writing. And his purpose was to write to the Jews, to show how Jesus was the Messiah. Luke's Greek, and he's over here writing to Theophilus. John's over here writing. It's not like they all got together and said, okay, you write this, and you write that, and I'll write this, and you tell this story, and I tell this story. They didn't do that. It's not like a bunch of guys got a conspiracy together. They were writing in different places at different times. There's no sure date. They all happened during the first century. Paul's writings probably started happening before that. And they wrote these down. Now there's this, if you watch scholars, and again, I'm just kind of throwing some things out because you'll hear this on TV. As a matter of fact, I heard it the other day as I watched TV. They had this thing called Q in the Bible, in the Gospel. Q is the first letter of a German word for source. And what it is there was a source. If you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're called the Synoptic Gospels because they're really alike. And they have almost the same story with minor changes. And so there's this tradition out there. They don't know if it's an oral tradition or a written tradition that existed, and they're calling it Q that they use to write their words. But what's interesting is as they wrote, and if they had wrote something that wasn't true, don't you think somebody who had seen it would have questioned it? Do you know there is no document that questions what Matthew wrote? They've discovered no archaeological find. No historical document like the Dead Sea Scrolls have been found that says, Matthew made a mistake here. Luke was confused. I was there and I seen it, and it's not happened like Luke said. None of that's been found. And I'm sure if they had wrote something that was wrong, somebody would have called them on it. I mean, if somebody writes something now about the Vietnam War, you think somebody that's been there is going to call them on it? You know, some guy was claiming all these awards from this Vietnam War. Just the other day I heard the story. He had claimed all these awards. Somebody that was in that platoon said he was never there and proved it. If somebody had heard John, Matthew, Mark, Luke could write something that wasn't there, they would have called them on it. And you don't find anything. See, I think an open, honest investigation draws this conclusion. Here's four things I think about the Gospels. As I thought about the Gospels and I think about whether I can believe them or not. It's not on this yet. It's just I'm going to read it. First of all, they wrote the Gospels after the letters of Paul. And if you read you read the book of Corinthians? Anybody ever read the book of Corinthians? There's a lot of problems going on in the church in Corinth, right? If you're familiar with it, there's a lot of problems in a church called Corinth. There's a lot of little issues going on. Well, that was written before the Gospels. Now, do you think if they wanted to enhance and support their story and straighten Corinth out, they could have went when they were writing the Gospels and changed it to make it fit the situation? Say, Jesus said this. As a matter of fact, you read the Gospels, the book of Corinth, Paul writes, I don't find Jesus saying anything, but this is, I think, what we need to do. And that's what Paul wrote. He didn't try to go back and change the Gospels. They didn't try to rewrite the Gospel and add words that would have solved problems they were seeing. It was like, here's what happened. Another thing I think about the Gospels is this. You know, if I'm going to write a book about myself, I'm going to make myself look good. You know I am Gary the Great. You guys already know that. I've told you that over and over. You need to believe that. And if I'm going to write a book about me, I'm going to write a good book about me. I'm going to tell all the good things, how great I am, how smart I am. If you read the Gospel, I mean, we just read a passage earlier about Peter. You know, Peter says, "You're the Christ." Man, that's the story I'd want in my book. Man, I got it right. Look at me. You read on that passage, you know what it says? Peter, you're Satan. Get out of my way. I mean, it says bad things. I mean, you know, here's the disciples following Jesus, and they're supposed to be the ones who know it all, and they're at a point, and they go, "We don't understand. I don't want people to know I'm ignorant. You guys already know that." Yeah. But the Gospels didn't hide that story. It didn't hide the bad things. It didn't deceive anybody. I mean, if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna rewrite history, let's rewrite it right at least. And they didn't do that. And I think about that. And then realize how much memory was important to them. That oral tradition passed down from generation to generation. I showed the Dead Sea Scrolls last week. We talked about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Hundreds of years of just oral tradition. Hundreds of years of oral tradition. And it's the same story without a change. Memorization was important. That story was consistent. And so I just have to come back to the Gospels. And then I see the changed lives of people. Peter changed. John. James. Jesus' brothers believing who denied. For me, historically, you have to come to the conclusion, wait a minute. If you're willing to believe in miracles, you have to believe the historical documents. You have to step back and say there was a man named Jesus. It happened just like it said. The historical you know, they have never found an historical document that contradicts the Bible. Did you know that? They have never found an historical document that contradicts the Bible. And yet people struggle with who Jesus is because they're not willing to accept he's God's son. That he could do miracles, that he died on a cross and rose from the grave on the third day and ascended into heaven to come someday. They're just not willing to believe that. So they have to find excuses. They have to find reasons. They just don't want to believe. But there's also archaeological stuff. Like I say, you know, I've always said, I believe it, that settles it. But this is why. Look at this passage right here. Yeah, look at this scripture. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. It's a pool with five porches. All right? They proved the Bible wrong because they never found this pool. It was wrong. Jesus were stories that they created about Jesus. This never existed. It wasn't there. Guess what? Look at this next little thing I have here from archaeology. Until the 19th century, there was no evidence outside John's Gospel of the existence of this pool. Then in the 19th century, archaeologists discovered the remains of the pool exactly matching the description in John's Gospel, thus confirming the historical accuracy of John's Gospel. They said it didn't exist. It's not there. It proves the Bible wrong. They just made that story up. It didn't happen. And all of a sudden, they found it. Come on. I got a bunch of these. Let's go through these real quick. I'm not going to read all of these, but let's just go through these. They used to deny the existence of Jesus in Nazareth's day. Had been doubted for critics. They didn't think Nazareth was a city when Jesus was born. Until his name showed up in the first century synagogue inscription in Caesarea. Augustus' census edict are borne out by an inscription in Ankara, Turkey, in which the Roman Empire proudly claims to have taken census three times. The husband had to register their families for a Roman census was mandated in a census papyrus. That's a written document discovered in Egypt. All right. The Herod the Great ruled at the time of Jesus was born is demonstrated by the numerous excavations of the massive public works in the Holy Land, including the Great Temple in Jerusalem. That the son of Herod Antipas ruled Galilee is shown in similar digs in Sepphoris and Tiberias. Coins from these and other Herodian rulers are in common place in coin collections. The remains of the foundation of the synagogue at Capernaum, where he taught, still exist below the present ruins of the 4th century synagogue. the remains of Peter's house at Capernaum, later converted into an octagonal Christian sanctuary, has been uncovered. The hull of a first century boat. This one, you can see this just happened recently. Boat that plied the waters of the Sea of Galilee in Jesus' time was discovered in 1986, giving us a new information on how Jesus could sleep through a storm during the famous episode of stealing the tempest. That was really interesting. They have pictures of that ship on the internet. You can see it. That they nailed victims to the cross in Jesus' case was proven when another ossuary, I'll talk about that again later, was opened north of Jerusalem in 1968. And a victim's heel bones appeared transfixed with a 7-inch iron spike. Burial in tombs closed up with rolling stone disc is more than apparent today in many such sepulchres in Judea and even in Galilee. Supporters of James' ossuary inscription, authenticated, vindicated. This one's, again, a rather recent discovery. An ossuary is a limestone box, probably about 2 foot by about 18 inches, kind of a rectangle box made out of limestone. Very soft box. And what they would do, you know, people were buried in tombs, and it was just a hole in the rocks, and I used to, if you remember Easter, and after the body decomposed, they would gather the bones up and put them in these ossuaries and put the ossuaries, right? That way they could use the tomb again. You remember reading the story of Easter time? They put Jesus in an unused tomb. See, nobody had been in that one before. And so that's how they would use the tomb. They would gather these bones and put them in these boxes and put them away. Well, they found one called the James Ossuary. They've dated it about the time of Jesus and his brothers. This is James, the brother of Jesus. And on the side of this box, I printed this out so I could read it to make sure I got it correctly. On the side of this box was written these words, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus, on the side of this box. Here's this ossuary. It's empty now, but on the side of the box, it said, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. And so now what they have done, they went in and they tried every technology they can to see if any of these words were added later. All right? Seriously. They went in and investigated. It's often to have their name on it. James, son of Joseph, would be very familiar. But there's not very many that brother of Jesus. Why would they put a brother of Jesus? So that had to be added later. And what is interesting, they have been battling this. They took x-rays. I don't know what it is, but it's dust and it's the engraving on it and all of this. And it was, oh, come on, Gary. I underlined all but that one word. And it's Pintra or something like that. That bugs me. And they x-rayed it trying to say, well, this was added later. And what's interesting is scientists disagree. Let me read this quote to you. The government star witness, Yuval Goran, former chairman of the Tel Aviv University Institute of Archaeology, was forced to admit on cross-examination that there is original ancient patina, that's the word I was looking for, in the word Jesus. The last word in the inscription that reads, Jesus, son of Joseph, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. What it's saying is that makes it original. And then it reads at the bottom that Andrea Lamar and of Seberon and Ada Yadini, I can't pronounce these Hebrew names, at the Hebrew University were correct. They're battling over, is Jesus added later? Just like they want to say, it was added by Tacitus, somebody added it to him. Somebody added it to Josephus, now somebody added it to James Ossuary. They just can't admit that there's a possibility that Jesus is real, that Jesus was true. And so you want to do it, God, this is real interesting. Go just type Ossuary James. Look on Google, and it's really interesting to read this stuff. And so when I say, you know, and I've said it in the past, the Bible says that I believe it, that settles. You know why I can say that? Because I've read all this. You know, I've done all this. Now guess what? You've done it too. So when you watch a TV show on the History Channel or whatever channel it is, or another movie like Da Vinci Code comes out, or somebody stands up and says something, or you go to college and your teacher or professor who's supposed to know everything says something. You can say, well, wait a minute. Why don't you believe this? Why can't this be true? Well, there's no historical document. What do you mean? What about this? What about that? Well, there's no doubt. Well, what about this? You got an ossuary you can look at now. You got a Roman historian, a Jewish historian. The only reason you don't want to believe is because you don't want to believe in miracles and you don't want to believe in Jesus. See, that's what it boils down to. People don't want to admit they need God to help them live. I really believe that's the answer. People think they can live their lives their way and get away with it all their lives and sneak through. And I don't need God. And I don't need miracles. I'll just suck it up and I'll make it. And they try to get through life. And I want to challenge us. When you watch this stuff and you hear this stuff, don't just, well, I believe it, that settles it. Know why. I enjoy this stuff. My logical mind, it's true. What are you going to do with it? Why does all this matter? Why? Well, here, I want to read this last passage of Scripture and just spend a few minutes here. Why is this important? Why does all this matter? Look at what this says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me stop right there. Word is Jesus, okay? Just to kind of give you, let me just kind of back up for a minute. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. He's the message of God. That's what, when it says the Word, what it's saying is, Jesus is the message. All right? In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus has always existed. All right? Jesus was always there. Jesus was not created. Jesus is not some Johnny come lately. Jesus was there from the moment he was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. It's basically saying Jesus was there. He created. He's the institute by which God moved immensely in our world, and he is the one who is bringing light to this world, bringing a message to this world. He was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Is that true? Does it surprise you when the world does not understand Jesus? Does it surprise you when a movie like Da Vinci Code comes out? Does it surprise you when the History Channel says? Does it surprise you when a professor at school says God doesn't exist? It shouldn't. It shouldn't surprise you. It's darkness in this world. And Jesus is the light. They don't want to believe in Jesus. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. John the... All right, I'm glad somebody's with me this morning. John the Baptist, all right? He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, to concerning Jesus, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. All right, you get the picture? John the Baptist was the one who prepared the way. He showed the way. He pointed out Jesus. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. What it's saying again is he came to the Jews and they didn't want to believe. Yet to all, wait. Maybe he's coming to you today. Do you want to believe? Maybe he's saying something to you that, hey, maybe there's something in my life I need to take care of. Maybe there's a change. You know how I always say it, right? You know it's going to come sooner or later because you know what I'm going to say. Here's what a Christian is, all right? Here's what it boils down to, and this is what the light, and this is what it's all about. It boils down to this. How you doing with your life? You doing okay? Life hunky-dory? Life going well? Life going smooth? Things are cool, right? If you're like me, I got problems. I got issues. If you know me and you hang around with me, you're going to have problems and issues because you got me. Yep. That's life. You got to reach a point in your life where you say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. That's what it's all about. If you think you got life going well the way you're doing it, keep going. I guarantee if you keep doing life the way you want, you're going to crash and burn someday. You got to get to a point where you say, God, I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it yours. Come into my life and take control. That's what it's saying here. They didn't want to receive that. Do you want to receive that? Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. It's God working in us. It's not that you do it. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't work hard enough to get it. It is a gift. It's called grace. That's what he's saying. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not lest anyone should boast. The Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, that's the message they don't want to believe. People want to believe they can live their lives their way and be okay. People want to believe that they have total control of their life, that everything they want to do, they can do, whenever they want, however they want, and they're okay. And the reality is, if we keep doing things our way, we end up in trouble. I had to make that decision when I was 17 years old. I had to decide. I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't doing a lot of bad things. I was doing a lot of crazy things, but not bad things. But I did do some bad things. I'm not going to tell you what they were, but I did do something. Be assured. Be assured. I wasn't perfect. But I made a decision at 17 that I wasn't going to continue that way. I wanted a different life. And I'm going to tell you, I'm excited. That's what this is all about. Do you believe in Jesus? And they don't want to believe. And so now I can stand before you and say, the Bible says it, that settles it, I believe it, because I've done all this work. Now I've done it for you. What are you going to do with it? And see, what I want to prepare you for is for the next movie that comes out. Maybe this morning what I want to prepare you, if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to think about it. The bottom of the page, I put it real simple. Look at the bottom of the page. I put it real simple. I believe in Jesus. It's real simple. I believe. I believe what Matthew wrote. I believe what Mark wrote. I believe what John wrote. I believe what Luke wrote. I believe what Paul wrote. I believe what Isaiah wrote in the Old Testament. I believe what Jeremiah, we're studying in Sunday school. I believe. I've seen it. I've read it. I've seen all this other stuff. I don't need that anymore. All I need is God. And you have to make a decision. Maybe you need to cross that line this morning. Maybe you're here and your life sucks. All right? And you're sitting here just going, and maybe you need to cross that line this morning and say, I got to make a decision. If I keep going my way, I'm going to be in trouble. And maybe you need to make a decision that I'm going to start doing things God's way. I'm going to tell you, it's easy to do things God's way. Well, no, it's not. It's tough. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a lot easier than doing things my way. All right? It's not easy, but it's a lot easier than doing things my way. And you might need to cross that line this morning and say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. But if you're a Christian, I want to challenge you too. Check some of this stuff out. Some of you are off to college. Some of you are in college. Check some of this stuff out. When that teacher stands up and says something, don't let him get away with it. I've always been this way. I stood up in the middle of class yelling at professors. You need to know that. I've been thrown out of teachers' offices. I've been told, technically, you're right, but I'm not giving you the point. I've been told, that's none of your business. I've been told, you shouldn't have looked at some other person's paper to see that your answers was the same and his was right and mine was wrong. Same one-word answer. And I shouldn't have looked at his paper? No, man, you've got to change my grade. I've always been that way. Check it out for yourself. Go home, type some of this song. I just pulled all this off the internet. It's not my idea. It's just, hey, man, I love doing this kind of research. That's my logical, analytical mind. The Bible says that I believe it, that settles. It's kind of a trite statement. But I can say that because I believe it. And I've seen it. And I've studied it. And I've reasoned like the Bible says. And I've examined like the Bible says. Don't let them get away with that. Don't let them challenge your faith. Don't let them rock your little boat and say, well, it's not true. Tell them, Show me one document that says Jesus never lived. Never. There are some professors out there that say he didn't. And yet there is documents everywhere. They want to throw the Gospels out because, well, they weren't written. But how can all this stuff be so true and yet they're wrong about this one thing about Jesus? All those archaeological things, all those stories are true, but they got that one thing wrong. Don't let people get away with challenging your faith. That's what I wanted this series to be about. I think sometimes we get tossed about by whatever comes. Some guy stands up and says, the world's going to end. And we go, yeah, I'll sell everything. Let's go to the light. You know, get real. Read it yourself. Even me, okay? Check all this out. I was telling you, I made sure I told you good and bad about everything I was saying. When I talked to you about Tacitus, I told you, some say it can't be true, some say it is true. I don't know. I think it's true because they haven't found anything that said it wasn't. They just want to think it's not. Well, he wouldn't have said it. Well, you got one that has it not in it? You got everything else. Show me one that doesn't have it in it. Well, what are you going to do? Don't let it rock your faith. Stand firm. Do you believe? Do you believe? Stand firm in the faith. Don't be tossed about it. Whatever TV comes on, whatever news show, whatever new discovery they find, whatever it is. You know, I don't care what they prove. I don't care what they prove about this ossuary of James. It's not going to bother my faith. Well, they found out it was later. I don't really care. I still believe the Bible. Yeah? But what about you? See, for me, as your pastor, I want to ask you, will you cross the line today? Will you believe? Will you stand for God? Or will you be tossed about by this world? Whatever next comes out. Politically correct. What are you going to do with Jesus? Let's pray.